You can subscribe to The Spectator for 12 weeks for only £12 for our print and online editions, plus get 6 months of digital access free to The Telegraph. Go to spectator.co.uk/telegraph.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm John Connolly and I'm joined today by James Forsyth and Katie Balls. Today, Boris Johnson delivered his speech to a virtual Conservative Party conference. While the Prime Minister did pledge to defeat coronavirus so that we're at least back to normal by next year, much of his speech focused on building back better. Here's what the Prime Minister had to say.
We can't now define the mission of this country as merely to restore normality. That isn't good enough. In the depths of the Second World War, when just about everything had gone wrong, the government sketched out a vision of the post-war New Jerusalem that they wanted to build. And that's what we're doing now, in the teeth of this pandemic. We're resolving not to go back to 2019, but to do better, to reform our system of government, to renew our infrastructure, to spread opportunity more widely and fairly, and create the conditions for a dynamic recovery that is led not by the state, but by free enterprise.
James, what did you make of the speech?
Watching the speech was very bizarre. Boris Johnson's entire rhetorical style is designed to elicit a reaction from his audience. So hearing him give a speech to an empty room was very odd. At one point, he even started imagining how, if there were delegates in the conference hall, how they would be reacting to his announcements, which I thought was a kind of sign of how he thinks about these things. But I think what he was trying to say to the Tory party was that he is back, and that things will be back to normal soon. You know, he promised that next year's Tory party conference would be in person and with no social distancing. So, e.g., in other words, that by next September there'll be absolutely no restrictions on the number of people at an event, even indoors, and there'll be no social distancing required at all. Then I think he was trying to say that, you know, look, he said that he found the hero inside himself and lost 26 pounds in weight. He was saying that he had, you know, that it was sinister disinformation to suggest that, you know, in any way he was suffering from long COVID or anything like that, and that he was, you know, back fighting fit. You know, he had his, you know, Bojo's got his mojo back is the headline he clearly wanted. And also the speech was deliberately very upbeat. There was a lot about what he wanted Britain to look like in 2030. And we're just going to talk very loudly over the drilling that has now started. I mean, that is Build Back Better. Right there. No, what I thought was striking about it, though, was this. Which is, we have got one, perhaps the most difficult autumn and winter coming up for any British government since, you know, the winter of discontent. Yet the speech said next to nothing about the next 6 months. It was huge on what is going to happen in the medium to long term. There were some decent ideas in there. But it's that question. I mean, this is the thing, which is this government is going to stand or fall by how it handles, and this premiership, by how it handles the next 6 months. I think that's the point, which is you've got to get through the short term to get to the medium to long term. And I think what he was trying to say to his party is like, just stick with me through this difficult period. I don't like these restrictions any more than you are. He went out of his way to say that he was, you know, as fed up with COVID as everybody else. And I think what he's trying to say to the party was, stick with me, get through this, and I have then got this whole other agenda for you kind of ready to roll out. I think it's interesting how there was obviously a lot of greenery in the speech, you know, big theme on turning Britain into the Saudi Arabia of wind power and the like. I mean, there are two reasons for this. I mean, three reasons for this, actually. One is obviously Johnson's own family interest in this. You know, his father was an environmentalist, his brother's a sustainability campaigner, his partner is very interested in the environment, and that's her big political passion. And so I think there's that. I think there's also, it has become a way to put flesh on the levelling up agenda, because I think the problem with levelling up is levelling up sounded very Ed Balls, right? You know, we're going to build shiny new schools and hospitals in the north and the Midlands, yeah. But the green stuff allows him to talk about, you know, new jobs in Teesside and the Humber. It is kind of levelling up made flesh. And I think the third thing as well is he is desperate to be optimistic, to be positive and bold, and the greenery allows him to do that as well.
Katie, there has been some criticism of Boris Johnson's speech that it probably didn't have enough substance and not enough actual policies. Do you think that's a fair criticism?
We know that in the recent election campaign, you had a situation where we had the Tories announcing lots of policies. So I personally don't think in the first party conference since an election is necessarily that surprising, not announcing a whole load of new things when they're getting to work on lows. But I do think James's point, which in a way leans to the fact that the fact there wasn't so much in the next few months shows it's something Boris doesn't really want to talk about. He knows it's bad news. He's trying to sound optimistic. He already has said many times, you know, the next few months are going to be bad. I can understand perhaps why he doesn't want to turn to that for his big keynote speech. But ultimately, this should be a Tory party conference, the first since winning a majority of 80, where you're really celebrating the fact that you won that majority and looking into all the things you promised. And the problem for Boris Johnson is all the things he's promised have got a lot more complicated since coronavirus happened. And even Brexit, where there's currently uncertainty, isn't something that he can quite talk about. Now, if Boris Johnson gets a Brexit deal, if it's something that he and others say is a brilliant deal, you can see why that suddenly becomes a triumph of this premiership. But right now, I think you have a combination of factors in the sense that Brexit remains uncertain. There was optimism. It seems to have died down slightly. And coronavirus, to be frank, is just constantly bad news. That's partly because of government handling. It's partly because it's very hard to make anything to do with a global pandemic into a good news story short of getting a vaccine. So you can see why he's talking about other things. I think that definitely there is a sense that amongst many, which is, are wind farms really the thing to lead the eve of the conference? But I do think it leans to the fact that Boris Johnson is trying to work out how to have this post-coronavirus agenda. And I think with net zero and other factors, you can try and bring that all together. I also think that if the Tory party can make themselves, you know, the party of being green, could argue the Greens are a bit on that already, but if they can do that, then they widen their coalition a bit more. So you can start to see how some of the more One Nation Tories who feel fairly, probably not necessarily isolated, but as though they are not on the same track in terms of Brexit or various other things government is doing, can lean into that. I thought it was interesting seeing the Tory MPs praising his speech, because some of them, for example, Laura Farris, you intake, you know, I don't think they're necessarily the biggest Boris Redwall cheerleaders, but there was plenty in that speech to give Tory MPs like that who are in the One Nation group.
Mm. And do you think that's why sort of Boris Johnson touched a bit more on crime and culture wars areas, James? Well, a bit of a red meat for sort of the Tory faithful.
I think Katie has it precisely right there, which I think the speech was him trying to occupy as much political terrain as possible. So on the one hand, for, you know, there was the whole we're happy to sing Rule Britannia, but then there was an idea of Britannia ruling the waves comes from the wind power of these wind turbines. And you saw this in the leadership election, actually. He's always had the ability to kind of grab different bits of different parts of a Tory pantheon and put them together and therefore pull support from, sometimes shallow support, but support from different wings of the party. I thought you saw it was quite interesting on what he said about tutoring. He once said he wanted more one-to-one tutoring. But this is the thing here, which is normally in today's Tory party, that position would be either at one end of the party or the other. It would either be at the kind of pro-social justice end of the party or the kind of massively pro-grammar school end of the party. But he was saying, let's do it at both ends. Let's do one-on-one tutoring for kids falling behind, but also kids of exceptional ability. And I think that is his, what he called when he backed Ken Clark for the Tory leadership in 2001, you know, saloon bar conservatism. You know, that is where he is most comfortable kind of pulling different things together. I thought one of the things that was striking about the speech, though, was how big his emphasis was on the need for this to be a private sector-led recovery. It was a different emphasis, but there was much less on the power of a state to shape markets and much more on how the desire for sales leads to innovation and construction, as we can hear below us right now.
James, you mentioned there the sort of the emphasis on the private sector, but there was also an interesting allusion, wasn't there, Katie, to sort of Attlee and the New Jerusalem and arguably left-wing ideas. Do you think that was just a bit of Boris Johnson rhetorical flourish, or there's perhaps, you know, a move to take over Keir Starmer's ground as well on the Labour Party side?
I think Boris Johnson likes to think of himself as occupying the centre ground. I think that when he first won that majority of 80, you could see that they were actually quite enjoying the comparisons to Tony Blair, the fact that he went and gave that speech in Sedgefield. Now, I think he also thinks that his government is full of concern conservative policies, even though there are plenty who would dispute that. But ultimately, this idea of being in the centre is something he likes. So I think if you look at those prime ministers from history which have changed things with their agenda, that's something he's quite happy to embrace.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you, James. And thank you for listening.
And sorry for the bells.